That's better. Oh, now we're... But you could all hear me before that, could you not? Because God has given me a good voice. I praise him. Man, I just... Are you walking? Are you walking in God's plans and purposes for your life? Are you walking in your destiny? This summer in June, I'm going to celebrate my 65th. And that Freedom Fund is going to come in. And I'm going to start to be able to do even more stuff for the kingdom of God. But you know, when my marriage fell apart and my life fell apart down back in 1986, there was a prophetic word over my life that the latter days were going to be better than the former days. And you know what, folks? I'm walking in it. I'm walking in it. There is something so exciting about this year. If you haven't picked it up in your spirit already, get in tune with God, because there's something very exciting about this year. He's saying you're going to see awesome, my awesomeness this year. You're going to see answers to your prayers. You're going to see victory. And I just wanted, before I even go into what I'm speaking about, I want to give you this verse, 2 Corinthians 2:14, which the Lord gave me for this year. But thanks be to God, who always, always, always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, not in your own ability. Forget it. In Christ, he always leads you in triumphal procession in Christ. And through us, spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Rise up and let that fragrance of Jesus that's inside of you, let that just exude out from you, wherever you might be. Walk in his plan and purpose for you every day. Not just say, okay, Lord, I want your plan and purpose for my life. Yes, we decide that, but then we walk in it every day. Pastor Ken Stoddard from Nanaimo, wrote a book called Pastures, Palaces, and Pathways. And I want to quote him in this book. He says, God who sees the end from the beginning has already written a great story for all of us, if we will walk with him. God's plan for you really is better than your plan for yourself. Wish I would have written that. God's plan for you is really better than your plan for yourself. That sounds like Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Number one, God's plan for you is better than your plan for yourself. A lot of people don't believe that. A lot of people don't believe that. The plans and purposes and destiny of God has been designed so you would have joy and fulfillment and fruit in your life. Why are so many people afraid to say yes to God? Because they really don't believe that his plan is better than our plan. They don't feel they can trust him. And this morning I ask you, do you trust God? Let me tell you what happened down in Cuba. I work a lot in Cuba with an apostle called Emilio, young man of God, powerful in God, powerful. And the works that they have raised up is incredible, considering the country that they are working in and the lack of finances. So Emilio did not know God's plans when he attended a meeting in the Matanza Church in 1985. He was only a young man who had gone to hear a well-known Cuban prophet. That night, while the prophet was speaking, he received a vision of a church that was going to be built in the city of Matanza. And he described the church. He said, it is going to be a round style of a church, stadium seating inside, you know, all the bleachers and up like this. And it's going to seat 2,000 people. Impossible for Cuba. Impossible. Emilio, that was 20 years ago, Emilio heard that. Emilio did not know that God was setting him up. God likes to set us up in a good way. Emilio did not know that God was setting him up. 20 years later, Emilio became the pastor of the church in Matanza. Now, the church was exploding and the church needed a new building. The previous pastor had gone for 3 years to the government to ask for permission to build a new church. But it was going to be a box-style church. But God, who is higher than any government, doesn't matter what kind of government it is, had said no, no, no. Because God was waiting for the church that he had designed for Matanza, that stadium-style church. In comes Emilio, like the pastor. He, as the pastor, he remembers that vision. 20 years before, he remembers the vision. He says, Elsie, I could even tell you the sermon that he preached. I could tell you the verses that he used. How good is your memory? How good is your memory? 20 years previous, Emilio remembers every detail about that church. He asked the government permission to build that church. And guess what? The government said yes. And in 2009, they dedicated this stadium-style church, seats 2,000 people. They packed it out. And every time they have a meeting there, they pack it out. And just this is what God has in store for those who are willing to say yes. Here I am, God. God's got good plans for us. Good plans for us. I don't care how old you are. If you woke up this morning and there was not a yellow line around your body, that means that you are still alive. And that means that God is not finished with you yet. That means God still has a plan and a purpose and something for you to do. Life is only a vapor. Live it for Jesus. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. That's the only thing. God's plans for you are better than your plans for yourself. Number two, your destiny is written in your DNA. It's already in there. You just have to let it come out. Each one of us is very uniquely designed by God. Your looks, your ethnicity, your dreams, your likes, your dislikes. You are not an accident. I don't care what the conditions of your birth were or your background. You are not an accident. In Psalms we read, he knit you together in your mother's womb. He does a good job. It's not an accident that you're alive today. And it is not an accident that you live here in North Van. Because you see, God has a plan and purpose for your life individually, but also for this church corporately. And he takes our individual callings and he puts us in a place where we can corporately work together to bring together the calling of a church for an area. It is not an accident that you live where you live. Acts 17:26. From one man he made every nation of men that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the times set for them. There was no yellow line around you this morning. God says, my time for you is not up yet. And he had determined the exact places where they should live. Accident that you're living here in North Van? Accident that you're coming to this church on Sunday morning? Accident? I don't think so. God has got a huge plan and a purpose. Ephesians 2:10 says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God is a master craftsman, and we are his masterpiece. You are a masterpiece. Too many people criticize the masterpiece that God has created. God created you, and you are his masterpiece. You're good. God doesn't create junk. You're well made. You're well equipped. He created you to do good works, which he prepared in advance for you to do. Now, it says here you were created to do good works, not saved by good works. You are not saved by good works. You can't work your way into God's graces. It's It's only by grace are you saved. It's by believing in Jesus. It's by recognizing that without Jesus, we're lost. And recognizing that Jesus, the Son of God, came and paid the price for our salvation so we could be pardoned and we could receive new life in him. By grace are you saved for good works. You were created and saved, brought into the family of God, because God has awesome stuff for you to do. Tell you, somebody put that picture of me holding the world on the front of the bulletin. Thank you. That is probably my most favorite picture. Not because it's really well, it's not well taken digitally. It's not very clear. But I just love that. When I saw that globe there, I was down in Malaysia, almost at the end of Malaysia. And I saw that globe and I just said, I just want to get my arms around the world. I want to get my arms around the world. God wants to put the world in your heart. He wants you to put your arms around the world. The world has come to Canada. We're so blessed. The world has come to Canada. You don't have to buy a ticket for $2,000 to go over to Thailand. The world has come here, to Korea, to China, to the Philippines. Awesome stuff going on in all of these countries. God's plans and purposes have been built into you. I want to ask you, what brings you joy? Because that's probably where God's purpose lies in your life. What brings you joy? What do you hate? What do you hate? Look carefully, because maybe God's plan and purpose lies within that. What makes you cry? Have you ever said, somebody should do something about that? Have you ever seen an injustice and said, somebody should do something about that? I want to tell you, you're probably the somebody. That's probably the call of God on your life. My brother Don does not believe in Jesus yet. But he and his wife, Beth, went up north in the fall of 2009. She had a contract with the government. They were up there for 6 months. The contract was for 3 years, but for many reasons, they only were there for 6 months. And my brother Don, doesn't know God yet, but he has a heart like God. Because the little kids in the hamlet of Cape Dorset, 1,400 people on an island, totally isolated, the little kids would come and knock on his door and say, Mister, could you give me something to eat? Because they were hungry. Because Mom, probably no Dad, because Mom probably had spent it all on booze. Mister, could you give me something to eat? And my brother started feeding about 20 kids a day, stew and macaroni. He said, I can do that. He's got a heart like God. And God has planted plans and purposes within my brother's life. He just doesn't know Jesus yet, but he's going to. What has been prophesied over you? I want you to think about any prophetic words that have been spoken over your life, because I bet you that's where your calls and plans and purposes and destiny lie. What has been prophesied over you? I just received a very encouraging email from a young lady called Kim, and I had been in Strathmore Church and had prayed over her 9 months ago. She wrote me this email. She said, Elsie, do you remember the prophetic word that you gave me? And I said, oh yeah, boy, do I ever. Because I had to take a real step of faith to give that word. And she said, I want to tell you that it's coming to pass. The Lord had said to her, he was going to wake her up, that she had a writing gift. And he was going to wake her up in the middle of the night. And he was going to download books to her. And they were going to be, I don't even know how quite to say it. They were going to be of the same, they were going to be supernatural books. Because people were so hungry for the supernatural. But they were going to be written in the same kind of manner like the Harry Potter books have been written. But they were going to bring They were going to come from the side of God. They were going to come from the side of the light. That's a huge prophecy. I was scared to say that, but I said it. She wrote to me about 2 weeks ago, and she said, I want to let you know, 2 months ago it started happening. I go to bed as normal. God wakes me up in the middle of the night. I go to my computer, and I start typing. And she said, he gives me 5 to 10 pages a night. And she said, it's exactly all this, how God moves in supernatural ways. And she said, one night I had a dream. In the dream, I saw a bookshelf, and there were 8 books standing on the shelf, only 8. And there were no names on the spines of the books. And I took one book out, and I looked inside. There were no words inside either. And the Lord said, take a piece of paper. And I wrote down what he told me, and I went back to sleep. When I woke up in the morning, I had 8 names of 8 books written on that piece of paper. She said, my stepdaughter, 17 years old, who doesn't like to read anything, picked up the first 2 chapters and said, Mom, I can't lay this down. This is awesome. God had a plan and a purpose and a destiny for Kim. And it's happening. It's working. Because she said, I'm willing. She said, I'm willing. What has been prophesied over you? Because I would say your purpose and plan and destiny, it rests, some of it rests in that. What have you declared with your own lips? When I was 11 years old, I got saved. And then people would start asking me, as we do with little kids, what are you going to do when you grow up? And I would say, I'm going to be a missionary to the Eskimos. Now, I want to ask you, who put that there in my heart? Sure wasn't my parents. They hadn't even gotten out of Saskatchewan. Sure wasn't my Sunday school teacher. Wasn't my school teacher. Who put that there? It's the God who says, I know the plans I have for you. It's the God who said, I know the plans I have for you. And Elsie had placed it inside you. And your mouth is confessing it. What have you said with your mouth? I grew up and I realized they eat fat up there. I don't like raw meat. I realized it's cold and dark up there. So I said, thank you very much. I'll go south. And I have worked mostly in Latin American countries. But you know what? God says, I'm setting you up, Elsie. I'm setting you up. Number 3, God will set you up. Proverbs 16:9, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. In the fall of 2009, my brother, Don, phoned me from Cape Dorset, and he said, Elsie, I'm feeding these children. But they have no winter clothes. They're just wearing summer jackets, and they're thin, and they're just wearing tennis shoes, and they got holes in them, and their socks have holes in them. And Elsie, could you help me? I don't know how to do it. Could you help me get maybe like 20 outfits, winter outfits for these kids? And he said, I don't know how to go about it. Maybe you can tell me how to go about it. I said, don't you worry about it. I like a project. I like a project. So, sure, don't worry about it. I'll see what I can do. And I happened to be doing a preaching tour in Canada. So I mentioned it as I went along. And you know what I found out? God's people love to help other people. God's people have God's heart. God's people like to love and help wherever they can. And so the clothing started coming in. Clothing started coming in. Really good used clothes. And then the firemen in Edmonton, they were donated 300. They were told they were going to be donated 300 men's jackets for their outreach on the street, winter jackets. In came 300 children's jackets. There was a mistake. And they went to the street, but there were no kids on the street in Edmonton. They went to the inner schools. There was no need. They came to Pastor Donna Cross, and they said, we're so frustrated. We have all these jackets. We don't know what to do with them. And Donna said, boy, do I ever know what to do with them. I ended up going with 1,300 pounds, 150 pounds, but my brother wanted, turned into 1,300 pounds of new or really good clothing that ended up north for the children. It was an incredible time. I took my sister-in-law, Bev, with me. It was an amazing time, amazing time. God did miracles. He healed bodies. People got saved. It was just miracle from the beginning to end. It was incredible what God did. And I said, that was an awesome project. You know, because I don't do cold and I don't do dark. But God was really good. It was only like maybe 20 below the whole time I was up there. And there was some sunshine, some sunlight in the daytime. I thought it was a project I was doing. But God was setting me up for my destiny. Number four, obedience is the key to walking in your destiny, even if you don't see the end product. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance. An inheritance is something really good. By faith, when called to go to a place where he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Pure faith. Blind faith. Blind faith. By faith, Abraham walked into his destiny. In that same book, and I'm not getting any money off of this either, in that same book that Pastor Ken wrote, Pastures, Palaces, and Pathways, he says, even the turtle has to stick his head out to move ahead. Time to stick our heads out. Time to get our neck out there. Abraham had to do that to get his inheritance. Many of us are missing the fruit, missing the joy, missing the fulfillment, because we're not willing to stick our head out. We're not willing to take that chance and be obedient. So I was up there last year in February, and then in July I heard that 17-year-old Pudluck had killed himself. He was well-loved by the other young people in the village. He was an athlete. It didn't make any sense. Why would he take a rifle and shoot himself? What do I hate? You ask me, what do you hate, Elsie? I say, I hate suicide. I hate suicide. I hate suicide. August the 10th of 2010, I returned to Cape Dorset. And I said, I don't know what I'm going for, Lord, but I'm going to work with the teens. And I'm going to do this children's outreach, a DVBS with the kids. But, you know, God knew why he was sending me. And even though I didn't have this purpose, God sent me up there to do suicide prevention and suicide mop-up. Do I have a lot of experience or studies in that area? Absolutely no. But that didn't seem to matter because God set me up and God sent people my way. I'd just be walking in the street. People knew me, but I didn't know them. And one day, one lady, Haiga, she just says, can you please help me? Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Because I've got the answer and it's Jesus. Yes, you can. Because you've got the answer and it's Jesus. You've got the answer to every single problem that people help. Can you help me? Alicia, I had met Alicia on the first trip. I had learned that Alicia and her two brothers had made a suicide pact. They all hung themselves at the same time. The two brothers didn't make it. They found Alicia in time. They cut her down. She's okay. I met Alicia. But there was no opportunity to minister to Alicia. And the whole time after February, when I came back down, I said, God, I want Alicia. I want Alicia. I was praying for Alicia. Lord, I want Alicia. I want to talk to Alicia. I get up there in August, 2 days later. God sends Alicia to me. I knew Alicia, but I didn't know Alicia. And God set me up. God sent Alicia. He'll do that. He'll do that in your workplace. He'll do that in your neighborhood. He'll do that in the store. He'll do that wherever you happen to be studying. God will set you up if you're willing to be set up. I went to visit Pudluck's parents. They called in the whole family. What do you say, Pastor? What do you say when a young man has killed himself and you don't know if he knew Jesus or not? What do you say? All I know is when I walked in that home, I felt the presence of God. And I prayed over every single one. I prophesied over every single one. When I got on the plane to leave, Pudluck's mom and dad were on that same plane. And she came up to me. And you got to understand, the Inuit people are very private people. She came up to me and she said, I want to thank you very much for coming to our home. We feel a lot better since you came. And I could see peace on their faces. God set me up. Kulu. Let me tell you about Kulu. I'm walking on the street and Kulu comes up to me and she says, I need to talk to you. Yes, please. Yes, tomorrow. Yes, yes, absolutely. Tomorrow she didn't come. I went looking for her. I couldn't find her. Sunday I looked for her. I couldn't find her. I found her Sunday night at 9 o'clock in her house. I was leaving Monday morning. She answered the door and she said, this is not a good time. And I said, Kulu, this is the only time. Because I have no more time. I'm leaving tomorrow morning. I must talk to you. Because I had found out that Kulu's husband had died of cancer 6 years previous. And 2 years ago, her younger son, at the age of 12, committed suicide while mom was in the hospital. Because he missed his dad so much, he wanted to be with his father. And you know what? I sat there and I talked with Kulu and I prayed with Kulu and nothing worked. Nothing helped. I said, Jesus, I'm here. You've got to help me. You see, he will help you. And he spoke to me. He said, she's thinking about killing herself. You need to ask her about that. And when I hit that point, I tell you, that was the breaking thing. That was the breaking thing. And then I saw the Holy Spirit come. I saw Kulu be delivered. I saw Kulu give her life to Jesus. I tell you, if we'll just say yes to God, he will lead us. And I have a video here this morning. It's called Hope for Cape Dorset. If you just set that up, brother. I'm going back up there in March because God wants to do a great work in Cape Dorset. So if we could, if you can just set that up there. We are all being called to be messengers of hope.
Jesus.
Jesus is the hope of Cape Dorset. I just want to give you that verse there, and I'm just closing. I want to give you that verse in Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God has called us to be messengers of hope and just take hope to those that have no hope. I'm going back up there now in March. I'll be up there for about 5 weeks. When I came back last year in August, in October, word came to me that two of the teenage young people that I knew personally had murdered their older brothers. There were 6 gun standoffs in the streets in 4 months, and all of the Mounties, 4 of them all together, left on stress leave, and they sent in 17 constables to bring order to 1,400 people. Cape Dorset needs Jesus. Cape Dorset needs hope. And I'm going back up there. I've been trained to take in a Heroes program, which will be a tool in my hands to give the kids hope and to strengthen them. And it also will be a tool for me to be able to build relationships with these young people. Everything I have learned, everything I have been through, all the experiences of my life, the things that God has placed in my heart, the prophetic words on my life, all of that is coming together. It's all coming together. It's all part of what the plan and purpose that God has for me. And I know that I have been called for such a time as this. And I know that I'm walking into my destiny. Will it be easy? Absolutely not. Will it be cold and dark? Absolutely. But I want to be in the middle of God's plan and purpose for my life. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to ask you this morning, are you walking in God's plan and purpose for your life? Or are you running in the other direction? Obedience is the key to walking in your destiny. We sang so many songs this morning about being obedient and just surrendering. Father, I thank you that you are so here this morning. Your presence is so strong. Lord, you know every person here. You know the plans and purposes that you have put inside of them. You know the good works and the adventures and the fruit that you planned a long time ago for them, even before they were birthed, even before they were thought about, Lord. Lord, I thank you that there's not one person here this morning that's here by accident. There is no accidents here, Lord, because you're a God of plan and purpose and destiny. This morning, Lord, we just lift our hearts to you. I don't know. I'm not going to pray your prayer for you. But if you want to, you just say, God, I want to walk in your purposes and plans for me. I want to walk in the destiny that you have planned for me. Just tell him that. You just, between you, God, just say, Lord, I just want that. I want that. I want that. I want that. Father, forgive us for not trusting you. Forgive us for doing our own thing so many times. Forgive us, Lord, for the pride that says I know better than what you do, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us, Lord. Lord, we thank you as we are entering 2011. We can say, I just want to be your messenger, Lord. I just want to carry hope everywhere I go. Just exude it. Let it exude. Let it exude from me everywhere I go. Let me be a fragrance. Lord, broken so that that fragrance can come out. Lord, just let your fragrance come out of us everywhere we go. Lord, I know that you will set us up. I know you will lead us. I know you will provide. I know you will set us up as we step out in obedience. Father, this morning, in Jesus' name, I just break all fear and intimidation off of the dear people of this church. I break it off of them. And I declare that it is a new season. It's a season of walking in the purposes of God. It's a season of rising up. It's a season of passionately serving God. It's a season of making every moment count. I declare it's a season of much victory for this church. It's a season of prayers being answered. Many prayers have been prayed individually and corporately. I declare that 2011 is a season of prayers being answered and victories, victories, victories. I hear people, I see in the spirit, and I hear voices saying, rushing into this church and coming up to leadership and saying, guess what God did this week? Guess what God did this week? I declare there is a release of the Spirit of God in this place, in every family, in every home. And you will see the glory of God. You will see answers to prayers. You will walk in victory. And you will exude the fragrance of Jesus. And many, many, many will be attracted to the Jesus in you. Many will be attracted to the Jesus in you. Lord, we just surrender to you this morning. Lord, you know where you're taking each one of us. Just like Abraham was an awesome inheritance, an awesome blessing, an awesome inheritance that waited for him, but he had to step out in faith. This morning, Lord, we step out in faith. We just say, Lord, I want my inheritance. I want my inheritance. I want those souls that I can lay at your feet. I want my inheritance. I want those good works. I want those adventures. I want those victories. I want it all, Lord. Lord, you say we have not because we ask not. And this morning we say, Lord, we want it. We want it. We want it. I want it. Thanks, Father. You may be here this morning Maybe you don't know Jesus yet as your personal Savior. That's the first step. That's the first step of walking in the plans and purposes of God. Because he says, come to me. I'll just forgive your sin. I'll put you in my family. The first step, the first step in your destiny is to come into the family of God. It's like my brother. He's coming. He's coming. That's his destiny, to come into the family of God, to know God, and then to walk in his plans and will, purposes. If you're here this morning, I would love to pray with you afterwards. And if this morning, if you say, I just want to know more about God, I just encourage you to raise your hand right now where you are. And I would love to pray with you afterwards. Yes, yes. I want to pray with you afterwards. I want to pray with you afterwards. Maybe you're here this morning and maybe you're like one of my children, running away from God, not walking very close. Can you hear the voice of God this morning saying, my precious one, come home. Come home. Come home. Come home. I want to pray with you. God needs you. God needs you. There is an enemy. His name is Satan, and he has tried to distract you and detour you. But the Lord says this morning, I need you. Yes, I can get somebody else to do it, but it's not the same as if you do it. It's got your name written on these projects and on this destiny. It's got your name written on it. I need you. I'd love to pray with you. I'm going to give it back to Pastor to dismiss you, but I'm here. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you if you want to know Jesus better this morning. Or if you just want prayer, I'm here to pray with you. We don't start again till 11. I'm here to pray with you. Don't be afraid. Today's an awesome day.
Amen. Yeah, we just say we're glad you, if you come for prayer, that'd be fine. Just make sure you've made arrangements with your children so that they're not over at Starbucks without you. I believe that 2011 is a very pivotal year. My heart leapt, Elsie, when you said that, because I thought it was just me thinking that. This is a year that you can look back on. We're so impressed with it that we're having 21 days of fasting starting on April 3rd leading up to Good Friday night, where we'll break the fast. It'll probably be the most, can I say the word, ambitious project, but I just really feel that it's the year of breakthrough and moving just another levels in the Lord. But I'm simply saying it's because we're trying to tune in to what God is saying and doing to be impacting in this community. And we said, well, let's fast and pray. Put our faces in the carpet and just call on the Lord. And watch what he will do, how many people he might bring to himself, and families that will be brought to Christ, and healings and deliverances. And so we say amen, Elsie, amen to what you've said here this morning. And if you'd like to come, we're going to dismiss, but if you'd like to come for prayer, you know she's not going to get to pray probably for everybody if you all came. But if you just feel that you need prayer, that's why she's here this morning. And we're grateful for those strong, good words. There's nobody here that was not for. Right? God's giving you a spiritual kick. He's saying, rise up, rise up, get going on this thing. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for the whole morning. It's just been splendid. I feel you. I sense you here, Lord. And Lord, I pray now that even now, Lord, thank you for those that are coming forward too, because there's deep needs and areas of surrender of their life. So, Father, we thank you and we praise you. Take us now, Lord, into the parts of our world that you placed us, that we can be full of hope and oozing with hope for other people. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, we just ask your blessing on the second service, that you would just break forth. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I'll get Sister Elsie just to be in this area here if you'd like prayer this morning.